How about now? Testing, testing, Joan. There is a possibility that I may have been muted this whole time. I deeply apologize for that. I'm going to have to possibly read over the last few minutes of what I said. I'm waiting for confirmation in the chat room that I can now be heard. I'm a little unclear yet. Joan's not saying anything. Let's see if she can hear me yet. Okay. So we're all good now, and I apologize because that was 3 minutes of dead air, and that was my bad. One of the things that I was telling you into the dead microphone is that I had family business out of town this weekend. I literally walked in the door to come down to my console and open up the show, and that also actually means I did not have time to write the script to take the notes. And so, Joan, you had earlier said if I could help you out. Jonah said, I said I'm super unprepared. And Joe says, don't worry, so are the showrunners most weeks, so we'll be okay. And I hate to disappoint you, Joan, a little spoiler. Ian and Andrew are the ones who wrote the show tonight. Although Satro is directing, and he's a good director. So we'll get back to that part in a bit. But you did say if you could help me. What I would like to know for a little later in the show is if you can find out, Talking Dead is supposed to be back tonight. So I would like to know who's on the couch. If you have trouble finding it, I would suggest the Twitter feed for Talking Dead or possibly the Facebook page. They often announce it there. Sometimes they don't, oddly, but they should tonight. So if you can find that out for me. I haven't had time to look up a lot of stuff, so my script is rather impromptu, and I apologize for the seat of my pants nature of tonight and beg your forgiveness. Because I'm traveling out of town, I literally walked in the door like 10 minutes before the show had to go on. So I am pulling up a couple of things so I have information for you guys, namely birthdays at the moment. If you give me just a hot second to pull that list up, we'll do that in a little bit. I did get a tiny bit of the script open, and I'm kind of using our usual format, and then I may have to just look to websites instead of copying it all down to the script as I usually do. So it's 8:36 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for your patience for me scrambling. It is Sunday, June 13th. 2021, and this is the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Let's give them some applause. Okay, so what I had said earlier, obviously, of course, every show contains spoilers that come up through last week's episode, and some stuff that I found from AMC official promo materials on the web. So if there's anything out there that AMC has allowed to leak about this week's episode, I might tell you. But those are the only spoilers we do. So welcome to Fear Season 6, Episode 16. This is the finale. Fear will wrap the entire Season 6 tonight, and I do not have any information on what happens between now and the announced August 22nd return of Walking Dead Classic. This has completely annihilated my math for how everything is supposed to go together. I do have new announcements that I let you know last, well, they're new from last week, but I'll let you guys know again in case you missed it. They did announce Fear is going to have a season 7. They announced that it was supposed to air in 2021, and I'm like, Walking Dead Classic has 24 episodes. Now, that nicely breaks down into 3 chunks of 8 instead of two chunks of 8, how they traditionally do. But if they're starting on August 22nd, we got to figure out if they're going to take the traditional winter holidays break and all that kind of bit. And I had thought World Beyond was going to go in here because there's 10 episodes, which neatly puts us up to August 22nd, sort of. It got blown because it took Memorial Day off, which I talked about last week, which also means we might have a thing, if they do decide to put World Beyond in here in the obvious chunk, then I'm wondering if they will do a doubleheader as they did with some things last time with Fear. So in other words, let's put World Beyond in, and then when August 22nd comes, we'll have like 9 o'clock is World Beyond, and then 10 o'clock is Walking Dead Classic. That's my guess. It mathematically makes sense with when they've announced the other stuff fits. I'm prepared to be totally wrong because they've already ruined my schedule a couple times. So anyhow, World Beyond is supposed to go on in 2021. They did say late 2021, but I don't know how that's going to work with Walking Dead Classic. June 20th, I feel, would be the first potential slot for it to run, which I just said. and so forth. So Walking Dead Classic Season 11 has announced their return on August 22nd. So either they're going to put it in between or they're going to shove the other stuff later. I really don't know how it's going to work, but I promise I will let you guys know when I do get it all officially announced how this is supposed to work. Carol and Daryl's show, we've talked about it a bazillion times. Angela Kang is showrunner. The episodic anthology Tales of the Walking Dead, also 2023. Scott Gimple has teased a couple of potential episodes that expand on plot lines from things that we didn't get to do earlier, like possibly a whole episode about Madison, possibly a whole episode about the entire plane crash sequence that opens World Beyond Season 1. Joan has found some notes. Oh, Lord, Ian and Andrew are on Talking Dead tonight. Well, thankfully, I'm sure nobody from Talking Dead is listening to me. If they ever happen to really, I'm not trying to be unprofessional, but I really am kind of disappointed in some of the work that Ian and Andrew have put in. But Coleman Domingo is going to be on, and Zoe Colletti plays Dakota, the brat. Interesting thing about Coleman Domingo, I've mentioned this before, and it came up tonight. So Coleman, sorry, my cat is interested in everything tonight because I've been away. So Coleman does this thing on YouTube, which is kind of fun. It's Brunch at Coleman's. And so he has a little Zoom chat at his house, and he's making a fancy brunch and a fancy cocktail. Apparently he was a bartender at one point, professional bartender, and he knows some gourmet cooking. So they will make fancy food and a fancy cocktail, and he'll invite a couple of celebrity friends from shows he's done. He's invited Walking Dead cast and crew, some singers he knows, actors, dancers, notable celebrities, multi-talented people from shows like Niecy Nash was on, I remember. So one of the things that he did is an episode very recently for Pride Month. I don't know what he said. Some of the comments on his YouTube video were very inconsiderate. I don't know if he announced anything like the actor himself is gay. The comment sounded like that, and I know his character is gay, but I don't assume anything about Coleman, so I don't know if he made an announcement or not. Okay, so let's see. Joan had some notes for me. So Ian and Andrew are on. Coleman is on. Check out Brunch at Coleman's on YouTube, and Zoe Colletti will be on. And then the finale is bleeding over, so Talking Dead's going to be late. Fear is, well, I guess it'll be over roughly about 10:10 because Talking Dead's not starting until 10:13, according to Joan. So I'm giving applause only to thank Joan for looking this up for me because I've been so scattered. But I'm not happy about the information. I'm just pleased that she was kind enough to get it for me. So thank you. I do appreciate you procuring that for me. Okay, let's see what else we got going on. So typically we start this show a half hour before the newer episode airs live each week with recaps from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., which is 8:42 now, so just a little over 15 minutes, almost 17 minutes, we will go dark or mute and watch the new episode together. And then we will rate the episode from 1 to 10, 1 being horrible, get this out of here, and 10 being, please, watch this show all the time. We haven't given a 10 in a while, especially not to anything from Fear, not after season 3. And give commentary during the commercial breaks. I'll also give the listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. If you want to call in to speak with the hosts, it's 914-338-0314. Anytime tonight, but I encourage you, especially before 9 p.m., because if you call during the live episode, you will be screened and muted, and you'll have to wait till the next commercial break, and then we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, which is true of many people, feel free to join us in our live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time and type questions anytime you want, even if the show is actually playing. And we put the link usually on Facebook and Twitter. I got it on just in time, so the link is up on our social media. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or any evening, previous episodes, you can go to each episode link and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening, or even just listen to it on the website without downloading. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page if you do want to download it as a file. So tonight's episode of Fear is entitled The Beginning, as in the end is the beginning. Official AMC synopsis is everybody desperately scrambles to live out the coming destruction on their own terms. And I did actually manage to squeeze in getting an additional synopsis article for you guys. Joan has found another comment. Coleman Domingo is also gay in real life and very happily married to his husband. Or if he's not actually married, at least he is in a long-term relationship. Okay. Thank you for that, Joan. And maybe that was what he announced on his Pride episode. And more power to him. So let's give Coleman some applause for happy marriage or relationship. Good for you. That's awesome. And his brunches are fabulous. So please go listen to those on YouTube. And there's, you know, there's two new ones up in the last couple of weeks that I missed. And those are nice. Let me go back to my notes real quick. Okay, so I read you the synopsis, and I have an additional synopsis, which is from one of our regular sources, comicbook.com. Cameron Bolimono is the author. And it's entitled Fear the Walking Dead Season 6 Finale Trailer, The Beginning. And it's, quote, the beginning is the end. And here is what Cameron has to say. The end is the beginning. The beginning is the end. And Fear the Walking Dead is bracing for an explosive ending to Season 6. I'm assuming that's a pun. The next few comments will spoil things about the USS Pennsylvania, which I warn you, you know, we always allow spoilers from anything that's not live. So if it happened before episode 16, it's all fair game. That's on you guys to keep up. So he says, despite hurriedly fighting their way through a Walker-filled beach submarine and nearly dying several times over, Morgan and Strand failed to reach the weapons room in time to stop serial killer Teddy and Riley from firing off a missile that will inevitably unleash 10 warheads over Texas. Quote, don't look at this as an ending, Teddy tells Morgan aboard the USS Pennsylvania. The world's going to be a better place. You just won't get to see it yourself. In the season 6 finale, quote, everyone desperately scrambles to live out the coming destruction on their own terms, reads the synopsis. I already read that to you guys. You don't need it again. The episode title also applies to Alicia Clark, who Teddy called, quote, a beginning, when he locked her away in a Cold War-era bunker beneath the Tramlin Hotel resort to rebuild the new world. A little piece of trivia, incidentally, just for the amusement and the synchronicity of it. I mentioned earlier I had to go to West Virginia for family business this weekend and drive back, and there was bad storms going up and coming back. And the way that I went was out of West Virginia down 64 and up 81 to get to Northern Virginia, because y'all know I live in the D.C. area. And the funny thing is I know that the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs is an actual Cold War-era bunker underneath a huge, fancy five-star hotel that was used by the government. There are more than one of these, but this one was notable because it was discovered many years ago by regular civilians, and they had to vacate it and move it. So the hotel's still there. The bunker and all that is still there, but it's no longer sequestered and private. It's just a fun thing to look at, the very old war stuff that they had. They've moved it to another location, roughly in this area, because it's near Camp David, which we all know is up in Maryland, like Thurmont. No big secret. It's just, you know, don't try to go in there. That's a very good way, at least to get in jail, if not shot. Anyhow, I just thought it was funny because I'm going past a place that is just like it. The Tramlin in the show. Okay, go back to the story. Quote, the season finale is another one of the episodes I think this season we've earned the right to tell the story in the way that we tell the story in season 6 because of the brave way we decided to tell stories in our episode this season. James told Comic Book about the beginning. And they don't mention who James is. I'm assuming this means that comicbook.com interviewed Lenny James, as in Morgan. It's the only thing I can think of this means. But they didn't say that. They just jumped into it. continuing the quote, I think it's an episode that all happens on a held breath, and it's smart, it's brave, it's challenging, it's emotionally engaging. I think it's exciting. I think it's revealing. And I think it's a really good finale for this particular season. And Lenny, I love your work. I respect that you don't talk smack about your coworkers, but I don't necessarily believe you. And I say that with love. Sorry. I respect your professional announcement. It's not entirely enrolling, and it's not your fault. Sorry. Continuing the quote further. Oh, no, it's not a quote here. Pardon me. Showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg previously teased the season finale would have far-reaching changes to the characters and the world of The Walking Dead, saying earlier in season 6 that what's to come will make for a dramatically different season 7. Okay, fine. You know, maybe I've been fussing that they use the same tired tropes, so maybe that will help them. Okay, so here's the rest of the quote. Quote, the end of the season is going to have far-reaching changes both to the characters, for the world they inhabit, and it really is going to change what the show is going forward into season 7, Chambliss said during WonderCon 2021, adding the showrunners are very excited about it. Well, good for you. Get us excited about something, will you please? All right, Joan also mentioned that she agrees. She loves Coleman's Bottomless Brunch, yes. Those are fabulous little videos, and they talk about some fun stuff. Alrighty, so I've read you that, and some of this I'm honestly using the template I have every week and just updating the info, and I didn't get a chance to do all that. So if you will bear with me, I may be going back and forth between the pages I would have copied it from. So writers and directors profiles, I did not get to port over, but they are all three profiles I've read to you many times. I'm just going to mention tonight's episode was written by Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss and directed by Michael Satrazemis. Both of them, I've read you their profiles many, many, many times. Ian and Andrew are the showrunners. Satra is a director that they have used in Fear, in Walking Dead. He's worked on both shows extensively, almost since the very beginning of this series, or the original series, pardon me. So I'm not going to worry about the fact that I haven't copied their bios over. It's okay. It's 8:51. I'm going to go ahead and skip that part because I've read them to you 100 times. Trivia about tonight's episode, if you bear with me a moment, I'm just going to go to the website I usually call that from because I usually copy it over for you guys. So trivia tonight, co-stars are Corey Hart as Raleigh. He's been on several times. Actor Julia Barnett as Kim Larson, and I'm a little fuzzy who that is. I'm going to skip over here real quick, and they'll tell you who that character is. It's somebody who is new tonight, and this is the first episode she's appeared in. So there's a Kim Larson, a Kevin Larson, who is played by Aaron Spivey Sorrells, and Ella McCain plays Briga Larson, B-R-I-G-A. Let's see if Kevin or Briga have any sort of write-up. Obviously, they're a family of some kind. Okay, so at least we know Kevin is the husband of Kim and the father of Briga. There does not seem to be anything else, so I'm assuming their connection and their relationship is possibly a plot spoiler, so they're not going to say too much. Austin Alexander is an acolyte. It's a cultist. And I don't know why they say acolyte. Maybe it means something to the cult. This is the first episode he's appeared on as well. And this is another character that they don't say much, so it probably is a small plot spoiler. But we'll find out soon enough because it's 8:53. We'll be on the air soon. Uncredited people tonight. Again, the baby girl, Morgan, is played by an unknown baby actress. Possibly twins. I'm going to guess twins. That's very common. And also unknown canine actor plays Rufus, and Rufus will be around tonight. Deaths obviously will be announced later. Trivia, first appearance of Kim, Kevin, and Briga. First appearance of the character Howard. Let's see if he has a write-up. What's going on with that? Let me skip over here real quick. He's played by actor Omid Abtahi, A-B-T-A-H-I. I hope I said that at least close to correct. I'm trying. This is his first episode tonight, and so we don't really know anything about him either, likely a spoiler, but he's not connected to the family. And then otherwise, this is the first season finale of Fear the Walking Dead in which Alicia Clark does not appear in the finale. So let's see if there's anything else about this episode. No, it doesn't seem like it. Just check in the chat room. Joan has not had anything to add, so let me see what else I can tell you guys. Trivia about tonight's episode we've covered. It will be the 85th episode ever, and obviously the 16th of season 6. And that is all for this week. Last week's episode, which would be episode 15, USS Pennsylvania. Let's go to the trivia for that part. It's 8:55, and we probably can get that in before we go dark. I will try to do that, and then I'll try to get some more info for you guys during the break when possible. So, all right, other cast last week, Corey Hart is Raleigh. I don't know why he keeps being a co-star, why he isn't, like, just regular cast, because he's been in, like, everything for a while. Uncredited. There are a lot of uncredited people here, so let me see if I can get through these. Mallory Thompson is a cultist. Let's see if they mention what the character does. It's Cultist 4. The other cultist I mentioned earlier that's on tonight is Cultist 5. So this cultist has been turned. She's a walker. And she entered the USS Pennsylvania alongside Teddy, Riley, and Dakota and was killed in there by the radiation. And then Morgan and Victor see her, and one of them puts her down. She had radiation poisoning, and then she was put down as a walker. Yeah, so that's it for her episode. So that was her. And then they do not name the actors, but the actors play Morgan, Rufus, Garza, who was, let me skip over. Garza's a crew member on the USS Pennsylvania. So a lot of these may be just crew members, people encountered. Garza, Thompson, Wright, Farley, Stewart, Waters, Power, Johnson, Brown, Rogers, Nelson. That's kind of funny because it makes me want to say Prince Rogers Nelson, but I'm sure they didn't mean that. I'm double checking these names to see if they're all crew or not. I just assumed that. Yeah, they're still crew. Okay. Green, Riley's companion. Let me look at this real quick. Okay, this link doesn't go to a character, so I don't know what that means. One unnamed cultist and 136 unnamed crew members on the USS Pennsylvania. They mentioned the crew complement, how many died. It's the first and last appearance of Garza Thompson, Wright, Farley Stewart, Waters, Power, Johnson, Brown, Rogers, Nelson, Partridge in a Pear Tree. Okay. Title of the episode, USS Pennsylvania, obviously refers to the beach submarine that the Doomsday Cult are interested in. The submarine's name is visible in the picture of Riley that Morgan finds in Riley's old bunk. Riley is revealed to have been the weapons officer for the submarine, which is how the cult knew of the submarine and how to use its nuclear missiles. Valley Town is abandoned by its residents due to the threat of nuclear destruction. Morgan retrieves his axe from the ground before abandoning Valley Town, using it again for the first time since things left to do. The axe is later broken by Victor Strand, leaving Morgan's staff and the broken-off axe head. It's shown that an unknown catastrophe befell the crew of the sub, leaving most of them as walkers. Dwight and Sherry find four crew members who are dead in their bunks, two handcuffed together for some reason, and they don't get into why. In one part of the sub, the radiation levels indicate exposed radioactive material, but none of the crew show signs of having died from the radiation. And most of the sub is safe radiation levels to the point that Grace is surprised by how low they are, even without a breached reactor chamber. Morgan and Strand are cautious while facing off against a reanimated cultist who died of radiation poisoning. That was the earlier mentioned character. And use a cloth-wrapped knife to put her down that is subsequently abandoned. This is a reference to the first half of Season 5 when Morgan's group is warned against the danger of facing radioactive walkers. Teddy and Riley succeed in launching one nuclear missile containing 10 warheads before Morgan and Strand can stop them. Riley and Teddy state that the warheads are targeted for locations in Texas, including possibly the border and Valley Town. There is one mistake that is logged. Despite Thompson being put down when the group first enters the ship, he is later seen again with two other zombies chasing after Morgan and Victor. Okay, it's 8:59. I am going to go dark and let you guys get sorted out here because we're about to start. I will see you guys at break number one. Thank you for joining us. Okay, guys, it's 9:07. We were at the first break, and I'm going with the four. I'm really not feeling this whole business about baby Morgan's mom. I understand she's wounded. I understand she can't keep going. But for her to kill, like, not even kill herself, she stabbed herself in the stomach of all places, which is dumb, because it's going to take forever, and it's going to really hurt, and it's just going to tempt the walkers to come around her and eat the baby. And Joan is actually going with three, and I don't blame her. Ian and Andrew, you guys need to collect your feces. This is not good writing right here. There's lots of things that people have done, characters have done in this show that are desperate and foolish, but you've had so much of it already, and you've really taken advantage of how much you think people can get away with and have their characters keep going very much at all. I mean, obviously, this one character doesn't really intend to keep herself going, but this is not how to put yourself down if you think death is inevitable. Now, if she thought she was going to be a walker, right now she's still awake and dying, and it's just going to rush the whole thing. And at some point, I feel like the baby's going to fall off her, and she's going to have a little snack. So I don't know what Rufus is going to do to help. We shall see, but this is weak sauce. I don't like that term. I don't use it much. Joan's with me in this part. All right, let me look at my notes. Joan, do you remember last week? I had a link that was about Walking Dead World Beyond, and it was something about things, places Rick Grimes went. I did not finish reading that to you guys, did I? And if I did not, I can read that to you tonight. That would be, I hate to say interesting because I really don't know. I'm, you know, Walking Dead classic, I'm mostly okay with. World Beyond has let me down as much as Fear has. I never got enrolled in that show, whereas Fear at least got me through the first three seasons and each one got better for a while. You know, season three was actually pretty superior. And I don't even remember. Hey, Joan, another thing, if you don't mind looking up something for me, can you find out who was showrunner then? Are we seriously back already? Holy crap. All right. I'll see you guys at break number two. Okay, we're at break number two. It's 9:15. Joan did not have an opportunity to look up my questions yet. She's not sure about. I'm going back to the earlier comments, but let me first give a rating. I'm actually going to give a 4.5 just because it was a little less horse shit and a little more taking care of business, like just shoot the traitors in the head and stop playing around. So I'm going to give it a 4.5. And let me recapture Joan's comment. She'll get to vote in a second when she feels like it. She had said this whole season's storyline has been one mess after another. But just for this episode, she'll score a 3. I know she said 3 earlier. I just kind of missed the comment, or I wanted to share that. And Joan has also said, this is why I have no hope for season 7 being any better. Every time they start with a story we want to tell, blah, 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 it's never ended well. She doesn't remember the link for that quote. I was going to have her check who was showrunner for season 3 of Fear, because season 3 wasn't so bad. And I don't remember where is Althea. Pardon my hiccups. I'm so sorry. Where is Althea currently? Because they're running around in her truck, but I don't know where she's gone to. Joan's going to try to look for the showrunner and for Althea. And she's also kind of picking on Mo a little bit. Oh, sure, we got time to fix the brakes. No problem, right? Looks like Dave Erickson was season 3 showrunner. And Joan's going to go up to 4, but only for Daniel finally remembering who he is. I'm not sure Daniel lost it entirely. He had lots of moments of lucidity. I think he's just kind of having a PTSD problem, to be honest with you. All right, let me look at notes. So, Joan, I don't know if you caught my question earlier. Here's an article title. The Walking Dead World Beyond Season 2 goes to crazy different places visited by Rick Grimes. I remember pulling this up for you guys, but I feel like I started on it too late in the evening, and I did not really get to read it. I'm hoping that's true, that I can read it to you now. It's another one by Cameron Bolamona. That's back from May 21st, but I didn't get to get into it earlier. And I wanted to have it read before we get into World Beyond, thinking that that might be next week. But I really can't tell you if that's going to happen yet. I'm still trying to find out. They have not announced it. So next week we might be dark. We might be watching World Beyond. I know we're not going to be watching Walking Dead Classic because that's not until the 22nd of August. So we got like two months and change to kill here. So Cameron says in this second article, and Joan, if you feel in the chat that I've read it and I've just forgotten, feel free to stop me. But otherwise, here we go. The Walking Dead World Beyond goes to crazy different places unlike any seen before in The Walking Dead when the spinoff returns for season two. Teases series co-creator and executive producer Scott Gimple. The upcoming second and final season of the limited event series, which pits its split-up group of young survivors against the Civic Republic military on their turf, might even visit never-before-seen places once visited by the missing Rick Grimes after his fateful helicopter flight away from The Walking Dead. All right, we're still in commercial. I'll keep going. Quote, these are some places that World Beyond will be taking place in. Two very different locations, and there's a number of worlds this season and more on World Beyond. The Walking Dead chief content officer teased during a recent appearance on Twitch's TWD Universe. That's a channel on Twitch. Quote, very, very different locales that the story takes place in. It's two very different places. There's a lot of very, very different places, different locales, blah, blah, blah. Don't repeat yourself, Scott. And there's a couple more crazy different places on top of that, end quote. We're back. I'll see you guys at break number three, and I'll continue the article then. Okay, guys, it's 9:25. It's break number three, I believe. And Joan is staying at four. I might go to 4.5. And this is really generous, you know, for Dwight and Sherry shooting the cultists, which they totally deserved. And I'm glad to see that some of them are completely hypocritical, which means that, you know, at least there's a way to get a foot into that nonsense. But I'm kind of tired of all these. Why are the cultists the only ones that seem to survive this stuff? And I don't mean the cultists of Teddy. I mean all the cultists in general, the people at Terminus, you know, the people that followed the governor, the people that followed the saviors for a long time. Why are they the ones that survive? Why don't, is it because good people don't want to do certain things, so they always die? Like, you know, why are these ones the last ones to make it? That's kind of rhetorical. Joan, if you have any opinions, feel free to comment. I will share with the audience. I am going to finish the article, and then I realize I didn't finish trivia for last week, and I'll go back and finish that up for you guys. So there will be something to talk about. Okay. So in the article, they were saying, when showing glimpses of two new locations, including one with a metallic globe, it's a sculpture that's somewhere, it appears to be like around 10 feet tall, and it's a globe with silvery metal sheets, and then the outlines of the countries or the continents are wire mesh. It's like steel mesh, like you would see on top of a sewer grate or a cage or something, in the shapes of the continents. You could see through it. It's kind of interesting and cool looking. I don't know what it symbolizes. The other photo in this article is a abstract kind of art, not even art deco sculpture. It's just lines and shapes. It looks like two triangles near each other and a tree, and I don't know what it means. All right. We're not back yet, so I will keep going, but we may be back soon. The black-suited soldiers are a military force for the Civic Republic, the home of 200,000 survivors living in an advanced civilization approximately located somewhere in the southwestern United States, which I find implausible, and I remember reading this part, and it pissed me off. And the CRM links the three shows of The Walking Dead universe. Operational helicopters marked with the three circle symbol appear in the flagship series and spinoff Fear of the Walking Dead. And the first season of World Beyond confirms the CRM is conducting Walker experiments from a high-tech facility in New York State. And because of that, that's why I find it very implausible that they're based in the Southwest, because that's an awful lot of territory between each other. I'm just checking to see if we're going back. We are not yet, but probably soon. Let me continue with this. Quote, it feels scary sometimes because the show has lived in certain aesthetics. It's been that way a long time, and to do this new stuff can be a little scary. Please, Scott, stop. Because you worry about people getting the bends from it, Gipple said about the CRM. No bends. CRM has been around since Polly and her trash can kids. Idiot. It also is really exciting. It's challenging in a different way. You want to make it different. And these people have very different society. Different. And civilization. But you want to make it connected to the world, consistent to the world, possibly within the world that we've seen. There's a trailer for a bunch of different stuff all together. So we're probably going to go back in a minute. I'm going to pause until this little ad is over because I'm expecting to go back and then I have a good clean starting point at the fourth break. So the shows that are available on AMC Plus Early Access. And it's almost over. I'm just killing time for a second. Yes, we are back. I'll see you guys at break number four. Okay, guys. 9:36. Break number four. I'm going to go to 4:75. Very reluctantly. I'm not sure it's about merit that much. I'm not buying the dialogue in here. Jones staying at four, I respect that. The two psychos on the road trip and all this, you know there was going to be something hypocritical about the entire group of them. But I don't understand why Dakota's even still alive. She needs to look at the flowers, Lizzie. Here, Dakota, this is for you. This is your little theme song. Thank you.
Look at the flowers.
Pew, pew, pew. Do not like you. I don't care for the character. And I will give credit to the actress because she's playing the character to be the annoying waif that she is and doing it correctly. Okay, let me go back to the article I was reading to you guys, and then if there's time, I'll go back to the trivia. So next part, Gipple previously told comicbook.com that audiences anticipating Rick's return in World Beyond should instead be looking out for the places he's visited in the 6+ years he's been away from The Walking Dead. I quote, I think people could watch this show and learn a lot about the mythology that Rick Grimes is caught up in. And they might even see places where Rick Grimes has been. Gimple said about ties to The Walking Dead movie trilogy expected to film this year. So they're going to create the movies in 2021, which is why a lot of the TV stuff is not happening until 2023. So these guys didn't say that. I'm saying that. All right, back to the article. Gimple said about ties to the Walking Dead movie trilogy, expect to film this year. Quote, but, yeah, he's not swinging around the corner. And I don't even know if I'm making people upset saying that, but I just don't want people watching it sort of expecting Rick. And that's the end quote for that. And there's a really weird show on that does not interest me. So let me go back to trivia and try to pick up where I left off. Okay, so I read you about the title, about Riley and Valley Town, Morgan's Axe. Okay, so we left off at Morgan's Axe. Let's see if I can squeeze this in. No, I actually read further down than I thought. Okay. I may have finished the trivia for last week. I beg your pardon. Sorry about that. So let me look at the other notes. I have shows coming up. Monday night in America with Roger Noriega. Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Roger Noriega brings you his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history, and that is hosted on StreamYard, not on Blog Talk Radio. Phantom Access Week in Review, Tuesdays, 10 p.m., with Jamie, Kieran, and AJ talking about TV shows. The Nightmare Hunter, Tuesday nights, 10 p.m., Roger Noriega hosts this new series on StreamYard. The Rock and Roll Shrink is every other Wednesday night. We just did one. So this coming Wednesday is going to be a break, and then we'll be back in 2 weeks. And that will be episode 111, but we don't have a topic yet. Travel Itch Radio is Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I only have the description for last week. If you give me just a quick second, I can find the description for this coming week. I might even be able to get it in before we go to commercial. All right, Travel Itch Radio on the 10th will be, oh, it is the Boston Red Sox. Okay, so that's already happened. I don't think they've, oh, they did put up one for the 17th. All right, let me share that with you real quick. Want to live and have fun in the sun? Come to the Tampa Bay area. Take a cruise in a 40-foot catamaran called the Sea Salt and consider a property purchase from the Sea Salt Company. So says Hendrik Bisanz, B-I-S-A-N-Z, a native of Germany who founded the company 4 years ago and now heads an international real estate team with 30 members and the ability to speak 8 languages. Hear him Thursday, June 17th, when he tells Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent Lee about his firm, its operations, and the beauty of their locale. He'll explain why St. Pete Beach was named number 1 in the USA and number 5 in the world by TripAdvisor, and reveal what makes the west coast of Florida, and especially the Tampa Bay area, such a hot travel and tourism destination. Listen live at 8 p.m. EDT on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio, or check the archive show after airing on the Travel Itch Radio webpage. All right, we're back. See you guys in break number 5. Break number 5. I'm a little ticky. All right, I'm at 475. I'm really getting sick of Victor becoming a man of some twisted but at least consistent principles, and then all of a sudden becoming a weasel again. And no, I don't buy that this is his reaction to the world ending. I think that they've either misportrayed his character change, and I mean his personal character, not the character. They've either misportrayed that or something. I don't know. I don't care for this whole Victor having a conversation with this new guy, Howard, and telling him he's Morgan and setting Morgan up as the one who didn't want to die and wanted the glory for himself. Joan says, I like the guy's setup too, but even feeling like it's 4 is too high at this point. Yeah, Joan's really aggravated. I'm really conflicted about my rating. You know what? After last week, I'm giving myself a little permission. I don't want to make a habit of this, but I'm going back down to 4.5. I do not like conflicted Victor like this, especially in a moment like this where it's very likely the end. I don't expect it to be the end because I know there's a season 7 and they can't remake it with like all new cast. So there's got to be something. Hang on just a second. There is somebody on the air, and I have not had time to screen them. Hello, caller. You are on the air with Fear the Walking Dead listening party. How can I help you? Hello? Testing 1, 2, 3. If you're talking, I'm not hearing you. You're live on the air. They're calling in from one of the staff numbers. I'm hoping perhaps it's Roger. Not really sure. Hello? Test 1, 2, 3. Anything but that. I'm going to give him a little music and see if that wakes him up. Come on, guys. Oh, Lord, an unscreened caller. Yeah, I know the last time we had that, but see, the last time we had an unscreened caller who was naughty, he called into one of the civilian lines. So this is not. This is a staff line. And I'm expecting it to be a co-host or perhaps, yeah, with a rent reference who watched it. I'm going to let them stay on and view those. Oh, they hung up. That's okay. I'm going to pause the music then so we can hear each other because we're probably going to go back in a hot minute. I wasn't really sure who that was. Perhaps Roger. Maybe they'll call back. We'll see. Okay. Looking at my notes, I have read you guys everything else, honestly. I've read the article. I've read all the trivia and everything else. I've finished all that up, but we still have a little bit extra because the show is going over until about 10:10. And so I do have a little more time to kill with you guys, and that's fine. Happy to talk to you. Sorry about the hiccups. I apologize. Let's see. When not getting anybody calling back. Don't dig in my rent reference, though, so I do appreciate that part. We haven't found out what happened with Althea. And I'm not really sure where a lot of people have gone to. We've split up so much of everybody, and we haven't covered where everyone is or what they're doing, which might be why it's going longer. Okay, looks like we're back. Yes, we are. Okay, we're back. I'll see you guys at break number 6. Thanks. Okay, it's 9:59, and we are at break number 6. No, Joan, you know, if you're really not feeling it, I'm not going to require a score. This is supposed to be fun, and I know that there's been aggravations. We do have a new person in the channel. Hopefully they will say something. Female Knight 9? F-E-M-L Knight 9? Hi, welcome. We are in the middle of the Fear of the Walking Dead viewing party online. We're watching the season finale of season 6 of Fear the Walking Dead. We're watching live, talking about it in between during the commercials, which is happening right now. It's 10 o'clock, and the show tonight is running until 10:10, and then they'll be Talking Dead afterwards. And the guest tonight on the couch on Talking Dead, as a reminder, is going to be Andrew and Ian, the showrunners, who also wrote tonight's episode, and then Coletti that plays Dakota, and Coleman Domingo that plays Strand. They will be on the couch tonight with Chris Hardwick. And I do still not have information about whether World Beyond is going to pick up next week. We know that Talking Dead Classic is going to be back on August 22nd. For season 11, and they have not announced what's in between. I'm a little disappointed in that, to be honest, but you guys know that I've fussed about that quite a bit, so we don't need to fuss about it again. I'm kind of hoping our visitor will speak up and join us, but, you know, glad to have the company. All right. I'm going to go back to 475, but I am super reluctant. Because, as I mentioned, I'm happy that somebody found baby Morgan, but I find the whole concept of being found by Morgan and, oh, God, Joan, help me out, the name of the other girl, the name of his romantic interest. I've lost her name for a minute. I'm having an anomia moment. They just got done saying that they wanted to have a family and all of a sudden they were ready to end it so they didn't have to deal with the warheads. And then baby Morgan appears. It's all too convenient. So, you know, I'm happy for that ending and not having a nasty ending. I'm sorry that her mom didn't make it, but we knew that was going to be a thing because she stabbed herself in the stomach, which we said was dumb. I'm not sure why that was a thing. All right, they're having a trailer for another show. It's another kind of creepy show. The Truth? No, that's not the name of the show. That's just a trailer in between. People are yelling at each other. And, of course, I have this muted so that I can talk to you guys. I don't really know what they're saying. Oh, it's called Home Before Dark. It's on Apple TV Plus, and they're coming out with Season 2. But we are still in commercial break at the moment. And so, no, Joan, you're not required to score if you don't feel like it. As a reminder, I've gone to 575. Still would like to encourage our guests to join us and make a comment. Joan has also added, she was dumb before that. Even I know not to try to shake a tire off a vehicle that's been jacked up. Yeah. I don't know why they made her do such a dumb thing, because if you have survived at this point, you can only be but so dumb, because a lot of those people didn't make it. Now, of course, we have fussed that one of the tropes is that people do foolish things and yet they don't have consequences, and we're a little aggravated with that trope. We are now back, so I'll see you guys. Oh, I know how to survive is the next sentence. Let me type that in the chat, but I'm going to close up here, and then we'll go back for either commercial break number 7 or the end of the show. I'll see you guys in a couple minutes. Thanks. Okay, guys, break number 7, also, a.k.a. the end of the show. is 10:13. Talking Dead is coming up next, so I'm not going to linger too long, so I'll let you guys go to watch that. So at least Dakota have what's coming to her. So it's going to be Coleman and Zoe and Andrew and Ian on the show tonight. We're not clear what happened to Rufus because he went off another direction, which I found super odd. Yeah, Joe's like, wondering that myself, only character I still care about at this point. Well, you know, I really can't blame you with that. I'm going to end on scoring 4.75 for this one. And that was a gift, guys. That's just because of a few moments that I liked. Some of these are really fraying my nerves. Let's not forget Teddy. Okay, Dakota shot Teddy, so we liked that part too. Female Knight, I hope that you're actually watching the show because we freely talk about stuff that just got spoiled. At any rate, I don't know if I'll see you guys next week because we are unclear what is going on between now and August 22nd when Walking Dead Classic comes back. So we'll find out. I'll let you guys know on the Facebook page. Be sure to look at that, you know, Walking Dead Online Viewing Party on Facebook or my social media. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, especially those of you who may be listening later via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. Special appreciation to our host, NDB Media. We'll hope you will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network. So please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. Go check out The Talking Dead since they bothered to have one tonight, which hasn't happened for a hot minute. So I'm kind of happy about that part, and I'll keep you guys posted on what is next. Otherwise, I'll see you in August. Thanks for joining us, and good night.